Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
It's NBA tip-off week, and FanDuel is your home for live betting. So even if you missed the start of the game or want to ride the hot hand, FanDuel has live bets on everything from who will score next to fourth quarter comebacks. Plus, you can even combine your live bets into a same-game parlay for a shot at a bigger payout. However you want to play, now is the perfect time to join, because FanDuel is giving new customers $300 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. So just visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to sign up today. Play your game with FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA.
Must be 21 plus and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Your perfect style is more than a fit. It's a feeling. When you step into any Maurice's, our stylists are dedicated to helping you find the perfect outfit. Because there's no better feeling than looking your best. Shop at one of our 800-plus stores or online at Maurice's.com for new items arriving daily and holiday flash deals. Maurice's, that styled feeling.
Shopping is hard.
I can never find anything in my size.
I don't even know my size.
I buy my clothes the same place I buy my groceries.
There's a better way. Make it easy with Stitch Fix. Just share your size, style, budget, and done. Your personal stylist sends pieces picked just for you.
That was easy.
Stitch Fix, online personal styling for everyone. Free shipping and returns, no subscription required. Get started today at stitchfix.com.
NYYST. Hold up. Why do they doubt the kid? I'm about to prove them all wrong again. I got a low tolerance, cause they don't even know where their problem is. It's me. You waiting on the boy to fail, then hold your breath and face your death. Cause you play the roulette with each step. I progress no less. Go ahead and place your bet. Cause we know we, yeah, we know we top tier. Cause all the hate that you bring, we know it stops here. I'm taking off like a rocketeer and stopping here. It's strange how they cannot see the future, but see profit here. Wait up.
Welcome back. This is episode 502 of the NYYST podcast. We're live on NYY Underground. I'm your host, Christian, and I'm with my co-host, Sem.
What's up?
Are you going to have a little energy tonight? Okay. Just a little bit.
A little bit of energy.
And the chat, what do you mean no?
No. Grow some facial hair. Or you tell me what to do.
I just shaved it all off.
You look like a, I just say a bad word. You look like a loser.
Okay.
I don't like it.
I don't care what you like and what you don't like. Next time I'll let you drown in the pool. How about that?
Oh, here
then,
we go.
Then you wouldn't have anything to like or dislike. You know what? I never got a thank you from your wife for that, by the way. In all these years, I've never gotten a thank you for that.
I know someone who should let drown in a pool. Keep that to myself.
Yeah, I think maybe you should keep those types of things to yourself.
I should.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm still getting over this Philly flu here. Okay.
I just had a sneezing fit for the past 20 minutes.
You ever have a cold and then like you're better, but like it just lingers for like 7 or 8 days? Like you just can't get all the symptoms out? Or is that just what happens when you get old?
Yes.
Okay. Very scientific answer there. Chat, how we doing tonight live here on NYY Underground? If you're here with us live on the U, please like this video and make sure you are subscribed to NYY Underground. And if you're listening on your favorite podcast platform on Friday morning, please subscribe there as well and leave us a 5-star rating and review. I saw somebody in the chat earlier, and I missed it. Is it FL Driver? He said he's going to miss NYYST. Because we're going to be here for an entire year. We're here through the duration of the 2026 season. We're going to be here. We're not going anywhere right now, okay? So let's have some fun here. Let's do what we do. And, well, you know, my motto, I guess because we're running it back one more time in 2026, the Yankees have decided that they're going to run it back one more time in 2026, as well as the big news in Yankee land this past week was that Trent Grisham has accepted the Yankees qualifying offer, so he's going to get paid $22 million to sit there and be terrible at baseball. Oh, but he hit 34 home runs. Shut your mouth, okay? I did not like this from the beginning. I think anybody that follows me or listens to the show knows that I did not like the Yankees offering Trent Grisham the qualifying offer from the beginning because I thought there was a high probability of him accepting it, and that's literally what happened. Trent Grisham, who credit his agent here, because his agent had to put his ear to the ground and find out that the offers probably weren't there, that people didn't want to commit long-term dollars and years to Trent Grisham off of one, what I'll call right now, a fluke season, especially with a lockout looming. And he told him, you better take this $22 million from the Yankees. And he did. Now, Brian Cashman played a game of chicken with Trent Grisham, and he lost. The Yankees played this game here to get, they legitimately thought, they misread the market, where they said, he'll get a long-term deal somewhere, and we'll get a draft pick out of it. Except for the fact that Trent Grisham said, no, I'm not going anywhere. Pay me $22 million, and I'm staying here. Which is awesome, by the way, because the cute story of Trent Grisham and his 34 home runs was fun when we paid him $5 million a year. But mind you, the people that I saw absolutely lose their minds last year when the Yankees tendered him a contract for $5 million. And now some of you are out there thinking that it's cool that they're paying him $22 million next year. The Yankees think that they're poor. Okay? We know that they're not. But the Yankees think that they're poor. And they're paying Trent Grisham $22 million next season. Where do you think that's coming from? You want an upgrade somewhere? No, it's not happening. You want Hal Steinbrenner to go above the payroll in 2025 and 2026? Tell me how he's going to do that when he just, excuse me, is paying $17 million more for Trent Grisham than he did last year. That's going to affect the Yankees building this team the way that they need to build this team. It's just I'm sorry. I would love to be wrong here, and we can sit here, and we're going to do it all offseason. Excuse me. I'm talking about what they could do, who's available, this, that, and the other thing. But the fact of the matter is that we've seen enough evidence over the last decade or so that they're only willing to do this and not that. And when you pay Trent Grisham $22 million for one season, it's going to limit something that they were probably willing to do. It just made absolutely zero sense to me that the New York Yankees played this game with Trent Grisham knowing, they had to have known. I can't sit here and think, honestly, for my own sanity, I can't sit here and think that they were that naive to the fact that they thought that he would never take this deal. I can't think that for my own sanity. Somebody had to... Sorry, I told you, I'm still getting over this Philly flu here. That somebody had to set somebody... who sits who down, though? Who's the guy that sits somebody down? Where's Hal Steinbrenner? We still don't know where he is. The World Series has been over for 3 weeks. We still haven't heard from him. Where is he? He's not sitting anybody down. Who's telling Brian Cashman what to do? Nobody. Oh, we'll get a draft pick. For what? You played a game to get a draft pick, and now we're stuck with Trent Grisham? In 2022? I'm sorry, man. This has gotten me so sour on the Yankees offseason that I don't know what they could do to possibly change my mood about this. Because bringing back Cody Bellinger is one thing, and you all know how much I love Cody Bellinger and want Cody Bellinger back. But it is, Jesus, it is running it back now when the reports are still there that Cody Bellinger is still your top priority. And now you are going to play Trent Grisham. The Yankees force-fed you Trent Grisham last year when he made $5 million. What do you think is going to happen now? They're paying him four times that. What do you think? He's going to get off to a slow start and he's going to hit the bench? They're going to have to justify this. What a colossal failure on the organization's part to not just cut ties with this guy. You take over here. I need to get a drink.
And get a throat lozenger. I mean, in all reality, we're screwed. You sit there and we've been talking about, you know, well, not we, but, you know, Hal Steinbrenner doesn't want to approach or go over 300, 310. He doesn't want to stay below the luxury tax. It is what it is. And then we go and we talk about, oh, well, you know what's going to happen this year? Stanton's salary is going to go from 29 to 19 because Miami's got to pick up $10 million of it. So, you know, you're counting like $10 million and we're going to free that up. We're going to have all this and we're going to have that. We're going to be able to move this. Maybe we'll be able to sign somebody. But now you just added $15 million to Trent Grisham. It completely washes out and still adds money on top of what we were saving on Giancarlo. So in actuality, when you look at it, we're almost in a worse spot than we even thought that we would be in. You know, I mean, I text you right away. I mean, obviously my brain wasn't computing why they even made the qualifying offer to Trent Grisham. You know, then the next morning I woke up, I'm like, oh, you know, compensatory draft pick. Okay, cool. You know, but I text you, obviously they're not in for Kyle Tucker this year. And you text me back, obviously. But, you know, and then I think we all knew what the Yankees' MO was behind the whole thing. And then we all just crossed our fingers and hoped that Grisham wasn't going to accept the deal. And then when you get the news that he did accept the deal, you're like, fuck. I don't understand why they would even take the chance, especially with a possible lockout looming. You know, the market's going to be a little bit funny. Somebody's not going to put – I thought for sure Trent Grisham would get maybe like a 3-4-year deal, and it would be for more than $22 million. I don't know if that was just – there was no interest in him. If they are afraid because of the lockout, they don't know what's going to happen. But like, shit. Playing chicken is a perfect analogy for it because it's exactly what he did. And Cashman comes out of this with egg on his face all over. He looks like a complete jackass. He's completely inept. And this is just starting to see, you know, you get, oh, they signed Yarbrough back. All right, cool. Awesome. That's the first move that happened. Great. You know, he was a workhorse for us. That's a nice thing to solidify the bullpen. We need that. And then next thing that happens is Trent Grisham. It's like, like you can't even enjoy like the little thing for more than 5 minutes before the implosion of the off season seems to start. Just aggravating.
Let me get to the super chat from David Hennick here. It says the Yankees need to sign Belly and go after Okamoto and Ima as well. or if they want to gamble on Murakami being a superstar, do that as well. Look, I think right now we're looking at a team that's not going to look very much different than they did in 2025. Based on everything that has happened so far and everything that we are being told by reporters, is that the Yankees truly believe that they were Gerrit Cole away from going to the World Series in 2025. They extended this qualifying offer to Trent Grisham. Now, it may have been a game that Brian Cashman decided to play and lost that, but they had to have known that the risk was there for him to come back. And Brian Cashman told the media that he was comfortable with Trent Grisham coming back. And it is, excuse me, has not changed their opinion on making Cody Bellinger their top priority in 2026. Okay? So now you're going to run back the same outfield that you did in 2025 if Cody Bellinger comes back. So you're not making any changes there. And the thing that has really solidified the thing that has really solidified this for me that the Yankees are running it back in 2026 is the report from The Athletic today that the Yankees and Devin Williams have been in contact with each other about a reunion next season. Why are we not cutting bait with a guy that clearly did not want to be here? Why are we not cutting bait with a guy that clearly did not work out here? Yes, he had a good September. Yes, he had a good October. But every time I mention this run it back thing, everybody says, well, Devin Williams won't be here. He blew 9 games, and that was a division. Well, why are we bringing back a guy that blew so many games last year that cost us the division? You want to run it back with Devin Williams, who clearly didn't want to be here and was clearly a failure. You want to run it back now with Trent Grisham, who all I hear, he's elite defensively. Is he? When he's got a negative 2 outs above average, he can't run the bases either. He's in the 26th percentile in sprint speed. What does he do good? He had 34 home runs. Granted, they were split evenly across the first half and the second half, but he wasn't the same hitter even close to it in the second half. He had 210 in the second half of the season and then hit an abysmal 138 in the postseason. But let's run it back. And now why everybody's turning on Cody Bellinger is because the Yankees telling you still that that's your top priority, that that is their top priority, means nothing's going to change on this team next year. So they're turning on a guy that really should be here next year and was one of the bright spots and a good player for this team. But when you want to bring back Devin Williams, when you have brought back Trent Grisham, and now you want to bring back Cody Bellinger, we see all the same things happening. And in our minds, we're just looking at the facts here and saying, you guys really sat there and thought that you were a Gerrit Cole being healthy away from going to the World Series in 2025, when that is just not true. I love Gerrit Cole, but even in my brain, can't say, well, we had Gerrit Cole, we beat Toronto. You still had to throw Max Fried out there who got smacked. You still would have had to throw Carlos Rodon out there that got smacked. The offense didn't really show up outside of once the game was already 15-0 in game 2 and Judge leading that comeback in game 3. They still didn't hit in the postseason, but let's run it back again. We thought that Joel Sherman was out of his mind when he said that the Yankees thought if you played the season out 100 times, they'd be in the World Series 15 times out of that. Well, clearly that's what they think because they want to run this back again.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
I am so sick of watching the way that this team is being put together on a year-in and year-out basis, where there are just noticeable holes in this team every single year. But the Yankees live in this DeLulu land, and then I have to go on social media and state my opinion, which I'm not saying my opinion is better than anybody else's. I just give my opinion. But to hear what the Yankees believe has been gaslit and then brainwashed into this fan base and it's regurgitated back to me is disgusting. There are people talking about the World Series last year. What, in what world did the Yankees belong on the field with the Dodgers last year? They didn't. Well, nothing. Okay? And I'll give Chris a lot of credit for this. We were texting back and forth earlier today. He said, if you wanted to run it back player personnel-wise and change the manager, I'd be okay with it. At least something different was done. But you're running back the same players with the same manager. How can you expect a different result? Somebody tell me how you can expect a different result when the Yankees want to run back the same players and run back the same manager. What are you literally sitting here banking on Gerrit Cole just diving right in being the Cy Young Award winner again? Are you sitting here banking on the fact that somebody else won't be as good as they were in 2025? It's crazy to think that way. It's crazy to me that the New York Yankees are being run in that manner. And now we see the reports that Corey Seager could be available on the trade block. You think the Yankees are going to sit, really? We can sit there and dream about that all day. The Yankees are going to go trade for Corey Seager. The Yankees are really going to go and take on that contract. And yeah, I would say Texas would have to eat some of it to make the deal work. And they should if they're looking for a salary dump. But the Yankees are now going to go and get Corey Seager. And where are they playing him? At shortstop? I'm playing Corey Seager at shortstop now?
You're going to have three shortstops.
We know Corey Seager. Where is Corey Seager going to play? Oh, so now we got to find a way to trade Ryan McMahon. Can Corey Seager even play third base? You know, we know he's not. I mean, you guys love Jazz Chisholm so much. Every time I mention that I would trade Jazz Chisholm, I get people telling me how stupid that I am. He's 30-30, bro. Yeah, I know how to count. I can read stats on a stat sheet. Does anybody really think Jazz Chisholm is a winning baseball player? Longtime fans of the show know the term dogpile guy. You think Jazz Chisholm is a dogpile guy? I've seen enough out of Jazz Chisholm now this year after he even acknowledged what his problem is and then didn't fix it to know that I don't want to marry Jazz Chisholm. That if I can get out of this before free agency, I would even do it. You know what? Everybody's entitled to their own opinion. You love Jazz. You love the 30 home runs. You love the 30 steals. And I look at a guy that is woefully underperforming for the talent that he actually has and is not a winning baseball player. So when I tell you, because everybody's telling you that Bo Bichette is not a long-term shortstop, when I tell you that I would trade Jazz Chisholm in a heartbeat and not even really care about what I'm getting in return to match talent for talent just to get him out of here and sign Bo Bichette, I do it faster than I can blink my eyes. That's how you make a team better. That's how you change the landscape of a team that didn't win a World Series last year, that didn't win a divisional round last year. Everybody looks at, excuse me, I'm be doing that a lot tonight, I'm sorry. Everybody looks at numbers, and I like to use them in arguments too. I do, I will admit that. But I also am old enough and smart enough to know that my eyes don't lie to me. My eyes tell me things that numbers don't tell me. Did the Yankees have the most wins in the American League last year? Yes or no? Yeah, they did, though. Technically, they had the most wins in the American League. Despite that, it wasn't even good enough to win their own division. Despite having the most wins in the American League, they got their dicks kicked in the American League Division Series. They didn't even go as far as they did last year. They won one friggin' game in the Division Series, and it took a heroic effort from Aaron Judge on an impossible pitch. Statistically impossible to hit a home run on that pitch to even get that game when Carlos Rodon vomited all over himself in Game 3. So again, 94 wins. Great. Did they win the division? No. So that would lead you to that would lead me to believe that there needs to be an improvement here because they have to separate themselves from Toronto. They didn't get out of the division series, so that would lead me to believe that, again, they need to separate themselves from other teams in the American League. It does not look like, and I hope that the next time we come on here, or sometime in December, or in January, that I'm sitting here singing a different tune, that I can sit here and say, damn, man, I'm so surprised. I'm stunned. I'm shocked. They went out. They did this. They got this guy. But right now, I'm only reacting to what we know. And what we know is that Trent Grisham is going to be here next year. What we know is that the Yankees still value Cody Bellinger as their top priority. And what we know is that they have at least been in contact with Devin Williams' representatives, and both sides are open to a reunion next year. Meatloaf sang a song, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Well, in this case, 2 out of 3 is fucking horrendous, okay? But, you know, they're not going to run it back. That's exactly what they're doing right now. Exactly what they're doing right now. And I would hate to lose Cody Bellinger, but it's almost like, just for the sake of being something different, I'd want him to go somewhere else. What that looks like afterwards, I have no clue. Because if they lose out on Cody Bellinger, what is that? What does the offseason even look like for them? We're going to go get Kyle Tucker. Okay. I'll believe that one when I see it. Whenever I post something about Trent Grisham, people are like, well, we're out on Kyle Tucker now. We've been out on Kyle Tucker. Kyle Tucker, in my mind, that's why I don't bring it up. You know, I have talked about it on here, about the Yankees getting Tucker and Belly, because they're the Yankees and they can do that. But in real land, in non-Dululu land, never did my mind ever put together Kyle Tucker coming to the Yankees.
What's with this Dululu shit? Can we stop that?
I agree. People should get out of Dululu land.
Listen, if you text me and you told me that the Yankees added Trent Grisham back and they were bringing him back, I'm not mad at it. What makes me mad about it is the $22 million. Trent Grisham didn't perform well in the postseason. He had a really great start in the season, but I'm not mad at adding him back and bringing him back as a fourth outfielder, okay? Or to come in late innings for defense or whatever. It's that how you're hamstring now by the $22 million because they're going to play him no matter what. Now, if they bring back Cody Bellinger, it clogs up the outfield. What's going to happen? Are they going to bring up Spencer Jones and he could be the fourth outfielder? You know, what if Jason Dominguez takes off and he plays really good winter ball? Is he going to be riding the pine because, you know, we got to play Trent Grisham? It's what that contract now does to the team is the problem. It's not the addition of Trent Grisham himself that I have the problem with. It's the absolute insanity of the stupid money that was spent on him. And it's dumb, you know? Then when you hear about the whole Devin Williams thing, it becomes frustrating. You know, I was having a conversation about it the other day with one of my coworkers, and we're talking, and he's like, I would take Devin Williams back. And I'm like, I don't want him back. And then he brought up Luke Weaver. And I said to him, to be honest with you, I'd rather have Devin Williams back over Luke Weaver, because Luke Weaver just became nobody. You know, at least Devin Williams got better as the season went on, and Luke Weaver was the complete opposite. You know, so like, I, again, I'm not mad at them bringing back Devin Williams, but again, it's the money that it involves in it. And in reality, listen, if we're the Dodgers right now, we're like, yeah, sure, bring him back. The real problem here is Hal Steinbrenner not wanting to spend the money, and then we all get paranoid and we're all just shitting our pants because we don't know what the future is. Because if they want to stay at 300, 310, the numbers aren't adding up right now, and we're going to have a problem. You know, because it's just if you could, and to touch on the getting rid of Jazz Chisholm, I love Jazz Chisholm. I think he brings something to the team that the team needs, because you have a bunch of guys that go up there and they're like, yeah, they're very monotone, or they say this, you know, like Aaron Judge. Yes, he's a great leader and all that stuff, but sometimes you need some trash talk, and I think Jazz Chisholm brings that. But if you could get rid of him and bring in Bo Bichette here, absolutely, I'm doing it 10 times out of 10. There's no reason that I would ever want to keep Jazz Chisholm here over Bo Bichette. I think Jazz Chisholm has a lot of potential. He just needs to grow up and play baseball the way that fits him, and that would be not try to hit a home run every fucking 5 seconds. The guy needs to get on base.
He is playing baseball with the way that fits him, because that's the guy that he wants to be.
It fits him, yeah.
Problem with it.
It's selfish baseball.
It is my problem with him.
And that's is it a childish thing? I don't know. I don't even know how old he is. But that's something as a manager, again, you know, goes to what Chris says. If you were going to run it back, you'd feel better if there was a different manager, because a different manager would tell him, cut the shit out, or else I'm going to stick you on the bench. You're not going to play. Aaron Boone's not going to do that. There's not just one single issue here. There's multiple different issues. And when we look at it all as a whole, it's just becoming a problem. It's a glaring issue. You need to move on from Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone, because they're in reality, what are the problems here? Because Cashman's what's leading us to have Trent Grisham back. Aaron Boone's the reason that Jazz Chisholm's playing that type of baseball. He needs to tell me, listen, you're going to stop this shit now. But that's in a nutshell what the problem is. Bringing Trent Grisham back isn't the problem. It's the money.
No, that's where I disagree with you. It is a problem bringing him back. I wouldn't want him on this team if he paid the Yankees to be here.
If they brought him back for $5 million, though, yeah, if he's playing like shit, they're going to sit him.
Did they? Yeah, he played like shit last year. They still didn't sit him. The Yankees have an over-reliance on veteran players. We've seen this. They let Alex Verdugo be the worst fucking hitter in baseball for 5 months.
This is true.
They're paying him any type of money they'd be playing him, because there was a legitimate argument to be made last year in the second half of the season to cut Trent Grisham's playing time, and they didn't do it. So now he's here. On a 22, Michael Kay said this. You could call up the 29 other GMs in baseball and say, here's Trent Grisham, 1 year, $22 million. I don't want anything in return. Just take him. And all 29 other GMs will tell you no. Except for there was one GM that thought it was a smart idea. One. And people wonder why this team can't get over the hump.
So this is, educate me here. They offer him the qualifying offer. Until he accepted it, no other teams were allowed to contact him. Is that how it goes?
No, that he can still negotiate free agent deals.
Okay. So was it just that he wasn't getting any calls and nobody wanted him?
He would have to decline it and then sign. He can't sign and then decline, but obviously there's talks going on. That's how he knew to take it.
I just don't understand how the hell $22 million. I can't understand how you couldn't get a 3-year deal at $10 million a year. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I guess deep down inside, I was really just hoping that he wasn't going to accept it, and I kind of convinced myself like, no, he's not going to take it.
All right, let's get to the super chat from Slim Lewis Guitar. He said, will they make a big trade for Tatis Jr. or Seager? No.
No.
I can't see it happening.
Those are going to cost the prospects or Spencer Jones or Dominguez, and
who cares?
Cash is not gonna let them go. He lets everybody go for nothing. That would mean we got something in return. That's not his style.
The Yankees, I mean, Seattle, San Diego is an interesting team. If just on the outside looking in to see what they're going to be doing in this offseason, because they got a lot of debt. They got a lot of very bad contracts. The ownership group wants to sell after Peter Seidler died. Now, whoever's left in charge wants to sell the team. It's going to be interesting to see what they do. Fernando Tatis in the Bronx. Hell yeah. I think that he's passed all the issues that he had with the motorcycle and the PEDs, and I'd take him in a friggin' second. Do I see it happening realistically? No. Do I see Corey Seager happening realistically? No. I mean, I just episode 3 of the A-Rod doc, the final episode drops tonight. If you haven't watched the first two, I would suggest watching them if you're a Yankee fan and an A-Rod fan or just a baseball fan. I've enjoyed it so far. The first episode really deals with his time in Seattle and then him signing with Texas. And then the second episode has really dealt with a lot of the Yankee stuff, the failed trade to Boston, then the trade to the Yankees, and then into the World Series run. And it ended right before the suspension. So that's kind of what the end of the show is, the end of episode is going to be about. So I'm probably going to watch that when we finish up over here. So, you know, with that being timely, could the Yankees, you know, snag another very highly paid Texas infielder and stick him in a different position? Listen, the Yankees of that era are not here anymore. So it almost makes you wonder, like, why they went out and got Giancarlo Stanton, because that was like an old Yankees move to just go out there and get a superstar because you could. And not one that you necessarily needed. The Yankees didn't need Giancarlo Stanton with the year that Aaron Judge had in 2017. But that was the Yankees being the Yankees. That was the Yankees saying, fuck everybody. We're the Yankees. This is what we do. And somewhere along the line here, the Yankees have lost that. The Yankees have lost the Yankee-ness in them, where now they don't go to a certain level. There's a line in the sand, and they will. If things get stupid for Cody Bellinger, they will absolutely draw a line in the sand. And then what's going to happen is that they're going to tell you how much they love Jason Dominguez, when everything right now tells you that they don't like this kid. For whatever reason it may be, the Yankees, in all their actions, are telling you they don't like Jason Dominguez. And what the Yankees have done, which is really criminal here, is that they have made it so nobody else likes Jason Dominguez either. They put all his warts on display for the entire world. They've went out of their way to tell you what those warts are. So now, whatever trade value that you might have had for him is gone. Jason Dominguez is headlining packages for superstars now? Not after the way the Yankees have handled him. It would be somebody taking a chance on Jason Dominguez, where before, even 2 years ago, it would have been somebody willing to make Jason Dominguez the centerpiece of their organization. And that's Brian Cashman. That's the Yankees organization. They have completely failed Jason Dominguez. And what are we doing with Spencer Jones? He's going to be 25 years old. They had to add him to the 40-man this past week so they don't lose him in the Rule 5 draft. It's shit or get off the pot time with him. Should he have been moved at the trade deadline when he was on that incredible heater? Probably. But the Yankees have apparently only wanted to trade him for Paul Skeens. Well, you're going to have to lower your sights a little bit here. And I get it. Trent Grisham is here for 1 year. You got Judge locked up. You want to lock up Belly. We're going to take this under the assumption that the Yankees do lock up Bellinger. So in 2027, there's going to be a hole in the outfield. Jason Dominguez and Spencer Jones both can't be on this team going forward. But again, what the Yankees are doing you is telling the world that there's something wrong with both of them. No other organization is letting a kid mash into AAA level like Spencer Jones did and can play center field like Spencer Jones did when they got Trent Grisham and his dumbass mustache in center field. Let him rot in Scranton, Pennsylvania. The Yankees did that. So what are they telling you? We don't trust him. We don't trust him to hit major league pitching because he still strikes out at an incredible rate in the minor leagues. What do you think he's going to do up here at the major league level? They're also telling you that we don't like Jason Dominguez. They made him a fucking platoon player. He's a switch hitter. They made him a platoon player. And went out of their way to tell you how ass he was defensively. Excuse me. By the amount of times they would lift him, in the times that he did start, that they would go out there and lift him defensively. So you had these two kids, the top prospects in your organizations, DeMartian. You named this kid DeMartian because he's out of this world, right? We've never seen anything like him. You value Trent Grisham, who had a 699 OPS before he became a Yankee. 699. That's who you valued more than Jason Dominguez. And in fact, the Yankees, and I say this all the time, were the Yankees right in the end to let Trent Grisham play as much as he did? Probably. Because as the season went on, they were turning more and more wrong on it. But they gave Trent Grisham the opportunity to get hot early, and he did. So that was a move that they made that was correct at that time. But the fact that the Yankees, and I said this 1,000 times, and I'll say it again, the fact that the Yankees let a player like Trent Grisham take a bat's development away from Jason Dominguez, and they allowed Trent Grisham the opportunity to take playing time away from Jason Dominguez, tells you everything you need to know about what the Yankees feel about Jason Dominguez. And now we're led to believe that now we'll take it from the other side of the coin here. If Cody Bellinger doesn't come back, now they're going to gaslight you once again because this is what they do so good. Oh, we loved them all along. We loved them all along. We have no problems playing him in left field. He's great. He's great. Oh, he can hit right-handed. We were just fucking around last year. It was a joke. Ha ha, funnies. And there are people out there that eat that shit up. They'll eat it with a spoon. They'll pour milk on it and put it in a cereal bowl and eat that shit right up for breakfast. I'm not going to be one. But that is what the Yankees will do. If Cody Bellinger says, see ya. Oh, Jason Dominguez, the Martian. Are you? We've always loved him. He's awesome. Then why'd you play Trent Grisham over him? Why'd you spend all an entire year telling us that he didn't play a lot of baseball and then you didn't play him a lot and tell us how bad he was defensively and that he couldn't hit right-handed? That's what the Yankees do. So right now, it's not easy to sit here and be positive about anything that this organization is doing. I don't post things on social media for the sake of just being negative. I post things because those are my legitimate feelings, and that's how I feel based on the situations that I see happen. And all week long, you know, I post anything about Trent Grisham, that's just being negative for the sake of being negative. No, it's not. Because I watched Trent Grisham play baseball last year. Did you? Talking about Pete with this, I hopefully Pete stopped grifting for a minute. So maybe he can chime in the chat here. Do people actually watch baseball? Do people actually watch baseball games? Or do they just see what happens on a stat sheet? Do they look on Baseball Savant or Baseball Reference or MLB at bat and just look at what the numbers look like? 30-30 looks great for Jazz Chisholm Jr. It does. Then watch him play baseball. The same thing with people were arguing with Pete about something him and Kev said on their live stream last night about Aaron Judge not having people to drive in. The guy had 53 home runs last year and only 114 RBIs. Sounds like that number should be a lot bigger than it was. And then you get the mouth breathers out there that are saying, oh, they're the third best on base percentage in baseball last year. That's cool. You mean to tell me they maximized their opportunities in front of Aaron Judge, though? You think the Yankees did that last year? When Trent Grisham was hitting in front of Aaron Judge? You think the Yankees maximized their opportunities in front of Aaron Judge? The fucking greatest hitter on this fucking planet? Did the Yankees maximize their opportunities in front of Aaron Judge? If you can sit there and tell me that with a straight face, I'm going, and I've been watching Pluribus, you're one of the alien people. The alien infection has infected your brain. And I don't need anybody to argue with me that they're not really aliens. I don't care. That's what I call them. You're an alien person. You're the alien people from Pluribus. Your brain has been sucked out and replaced with some virus in there that makes you go. Because the Yankees did not maximize their opportunities with in front of Aaron Judge last year. And here, another reason why I don't want Trent Grisham back on this team is, are the Yankees just going to default to him being the leadoff hitter next year? Is that going to be their default setting? Because that's not right. That's not the way you properly construct a lineup. Trent Grisham is not a leadoff hitter. Not in any stretch of the imagination. I don't think the Yankees have a legitimate leadoff hitter on this roster right now. That's why I love Stephen Kwan so much. And if Cleveland is willing to trade him, I'd be all over that. But with Trent Grisham taking the qualifying offer, how's that possible? Where's he playing? You're going to sit around and wait for Cody Bellinger all year? Like you sat around and waited for Juan Soto? Now, granted, I think that worked out for the Yankees because, yeah, Blake Snell was really good in the postseason, but he was MIA in the regular season, and without Max Fried, the Yankees probably don't get to the postseason. And I would, and, you know, we're talking about poor money spent. The amount of money that Willie Adames signed for, that was poor money spent. So, you know, that's why you look at things that could realistically be done. You can trade for Stephen Kwan. I don't think it would cost a ton. And somebody's like, well, he's only a 270 hitter. The Yankees had one guy outside of Aaron Judge hit 270 last year. That's a bad thing. We want to add another one to that. And I don't know, again, do you watch baseball? Have you ever watched Stephen Kwan play against the Yankees? And what a colossal fucking pain in the ass he is? And he's a guy that can play left field? Wouldn't you love to have Stephen Kwan just be a complete annoyance to a pitcher and then Aaron Judge steps up to the plate? No, but, Trent Grisham. Might have Trent Grisham.
I don't think I've ever done this show with you before, and you've given me so much anxiety. I don't even want to watch baseball next season. It's like so doom and gloom, and it's so true, and it's just I haven't even processed past anything to think about the leadoff hitter yet. And will it be Trent Grisham now? And now I'm just thinking about it and I'm just aggravated. Like, how many leadoff hitters did we have last year? How many times did we had to have a different lineup and all that shit?
Ben Rice was a leadoff hitter. Paul Goldschmidt was a leadoff hitter. These are you are telling me this, and then you're going to sit there and tell me with a straight face that you truly maximized the opportunities for Aaron Judge last year.
No, how many home runs of his were solo home runs? These guys aren't getting on base in front of him. Or like you said, Trent Grisham's slow as shit. He shouldn't be the leadoff hitter, period, because he just clogs the bases up because he can't get anywhere. He's just the Trent Grisham plays a great center field. I'm not taking that away from him. But other than that,
no,
like, there's
he does not.
He is not a terrible center fielder.
He is not a good center fielder.
He's not.
Not. What?
Okay.
Look, what are you getting upset for? We're allowed to
I'm not upset.
Disagree. You are.
Upset. You're upset.
Because he's not good. That is a talking point of people that want to defend Trent Grisham that they say, well, he's good. Well, I just told you that he has a negative two outs above average. He ranks 32nd amongst all center fielders, not even outfielders in baseball. Center fielders.
He's not.
He has zero range out there.
He's not a phenomenal center fielder, but he is not a problem in center field.
He's going to become a huge problem.
He's going to become a huge problem, but he's not. He's not somebody when the ball gets hit to center field. I'm like, oh my God, Trent Grisham going to catch the fucking ball.
Well, you should, because I think we saw a lot of that, especially as the season went along, that he wasn't nearly as good as he was even last year.
But there is nothing about Trent Grisham that makes me want him to come back outside of that he's not, like I said, he's solid. Like, you know, Anthony Volpe gets a ball hit and I'm like, oh. You know, that doesn't happen when the ball gets hit to Trent Grisham. And I'm not amazed when he comes up with a great play. You might be, I'm not. But outside of his defense, there is nothing about Trent Grisham that makes me want him on the team.
So if you're like using defense, then that means there's absolutely nothing that should make you want him on this team, because that's
no, I don't want his bat in my lineup. No, not no way, shape or form.
Oh, well,
I don't like the mustache. He looks like fucking Ron Jeremy.
He had 34 home runs last year. Well, that's why
don't
we
give
should,
a shit about that.
So that's why we should keep him for $22 million. No. Right? But you jackals sat there and argued for the last 4.5 months about Cal Raleigh, and all he did was hit home runs. But now it's okay to pay Trent Grisham $22 million just to hit home runs. Give me a break here.
Do you think Brian Cashman just like was sitting in his living room when he got the news and just like put his fucking face in his hands and said, I fucked up?
I have no idea.
He's got to know that was a bad move. Like, they have to compensate for this now. Like, maybe it'll work out and they'll be like, ah, let's spend $330 this year because, you know, I fucked up. Maybe we're in for a treat. I don't know.
The only way you're
in
for a treat is if your wife stopped at Cinnabon on the way home, okay?
No, you know what? I'm having fucking surgery tomorrow, and usually she's like, well, what do you want to eat for you have surgery? Because I can't eat after a certain point. And I'm like, I just want Cinnabons. And she's like, well, maybe tomorrow.
Chat, I need to know this. Is Chris in the chat trolling right now? Because I trolled him earlier today saying the Yankees were signing Devin Williams for a 3-for-45 deal. And I made that completely out of my ass just based off of the fact that I had read that they were talking. And now I've seen several people put that out there. Chris, are you in the chat right now trolling? Or is that a legitimate number people are hearing? And I just pulled that out of my ass earlier to troll Chris. I need to know this. Is that why you're cranky today? Because you're going under the knife tomorrow?
Yes. I'm having a very shitty surgery done tomorrow. And I'm very cranky about it.
That's actually a report that the Yankees have discussed 3-for-45 with him.
Like I'm on the Twitter sphere trying to.
So David Bednar, who was a better closer for you, is now going to be relegated to a setup guy if that report is true. And Devin Williams should take that. He should, if that's what the Yankees are offering him.
I don't know. This aggravated. Nothing is. I hate winter. I hate fucking winter. This is just. Last year, what was the first move they made? Was it Loizica or Boone? I don't remember, but like it just aggravated you. Now this year is just the second move's aggravating you, and we have what? December, January, February, March.
Had enough of your sportsbook holding back on the rewards? Fanatics Sportsbook opens a lane to a world of exclusive perks. Use fan cash to step up your tunnel walk with authentic NBA jerseys and vintage fits. Be there for the biggest moments with game tickets and rub shoulders with NBA greats through meetups and Fanatics experiences. Make the switch and get access to a highlight reel of rewards with Fanatics Sportsbook. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or 1-800-522-4700. MD, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
We all love a legendary comeback, and Degree Original Cool Rush is back and better than ever. Cool Rush isn't just a scent. It's a movement, a fan favorite that delivers bold, fresh vibes and all-day sweat protection. Whether you have a man that spends hours in the gym, heads into the office early, or is just trying to stay fresh on a long day, Cool Rush has their back. Head to your local Walmart or Target and grab Degree Cool Rush, the fan favorite scent from the world's number one antiperspirant brand.
No, 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 David, David, they're not paying $15 million for a middle reliever. They're paying $15 million a year for the fucking closer. So again, what they're going to do is fuck with the construction of this roster of how it makes the most sense because they're paying a guy. And what, again, because you guys are saying Rosenthal is the one reporting this, which, you know what? If he's saying it, I'm tending to believe it. The initial report came from The Athletic. Ken Rosenthal is not a guy. He's a smarmy little douche, but he's not a guy that's been known to just go out there and throw things out for no reason. So the Yankees are really, again, somebody sat there and watched Devin Williams pout. Like my daughter pouts when I tell her that she can't have ice cream. From the moment that he got here, you had to change the beard policy for him to get him to stop pouting, except he didn't. And be complete ass for about 5 or 6 months here. And now you want to give him $45 million. But we have an absolute dog in David Bednar, that's a guy who I would have extended. If you're looking to spend that type of money on a closer, just extend David Bednar. A guy that wants to be here. If you were telling, look, I don't want any part of Devin Williams, but I need, and Chris always got mad at me for this, but I need to be able to rationalize the things that the Yankees do. Whether I agree with them or I don't, I need to be able to rationalize with them. Say, I can see this. That's why I can't see the fucking Trent Grisham thing. I don't want him at all. If you told me $2 million and he was strictly going to be the fourth outfielder, strictly the fourth outfielder, even though I wouldn't believe it, I'd be like, could we do worse? No, yeah, you could. Okay, fine, whatever. With Devin Williams, if you were telling me he was coming back on like a 1 year, $5 million deal to set up, dude, as much as I don't like the guy, and I'd be like, he was really good in September and October. 1 year, $5 million is not going to kill you. Okay. But the reports are true. It's 3 for fucking $45 million. What are we doing? Are we even trying to win?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
JXV88 with the super chat. Cashman is playing 3D chess. We just don't see it. No. You know, it's funny. John Cena, you can't see me. Okay. I don't want to see Brian Cashman.
I don't think Brian Cashman has the mental capacity to play chess. I don't think he's smart enough. He's a fucking idiot. I'd like to meet him one day. By just chance, I'd like to just like run into him at the mall so I could just tell him how I would really feel about him. Like, I've run into people and I've got to say things at certain points. I just hope one day it's Brian Cashman, because he's a fucking asshole. And he's probably the reason I've lost even more hair.
Again, you willingly offered $22 million for one season for Trent Grisham. You did that. You did that.
It's like it was like what he did was like shill billing, bidding on fucking eBay. You know, you got your own thing up there and those people that go out and like, I'm going to bid this up so my own thing sells for more. And then you get stuck with the winning bid. You're like, fuck. That's what Brian Cashman did.
And now, if this report is true, the Yankees are willing to give $45 million to Devin Williams, according to this report that you guys are saying. Okay. So once again, that's showing the Yankees have a willingness to spend money. And what do we always say here? It's never what Hal spends. It's who he allows to spend his money. In nearly $70 million in an offseason, when you didn't win the division, you didn't get out of the divisional series, $70 million potentially to be spent on Devin Williams and Trent Grisham is just pure insanity. It's pure insanity.
That's a $17 million increase, right, for Trent Grisham and a $7 million increase for Devin Williams. The offseason's done. What are they gonna do? They're gonna sign Cody Bellinger. They're done. They hit their max already.
So you're giving Trent Grisham a raise. You're giving Devin Williams a raise. And if you want Cody, you have to give Cody a raise.
Who deserves one?
So you take away that you lost the money, the Aaron Hicks's contract. You lost, you know, the savings on Giancarlo Stanton's contract this year. So you're basically at what? Even? You're even now? Of what you lost versus what you gained. Where are the additions coming from? What is coming in here that's different from last year? And Pete, you're right, bro. You said 30, 45 for Devin Williams might end you. Bro, I told you earlier in her chat, I said that this might be the thing where I have to quit. I know I said one more year, but I might actually hang it up if that is true.
I'm just aggravated today. What is there to look forward to when you just get kicked in the balls repeatedly?
And Scott's like right again. Scott, right? Okay, Scott's right again. There's going to be arbitration raises for guys that are ARB eligible. There's going to be raises there.
There you go. Yeah. So we're probably going to be behind. So they're probably going to have to trade some people to make room for Trent Grisham's new contract.
So again, a team that thinks they're poor, why you offer $22 million to Trent Grisham when you have two outfielders that are going to make league minimum next year and you have to make improvements on the team? This is the – we haven't even really done anything yet, and I'm already aggravated.
Well, this is why Brian Cashman didn't have to go to the winter meetings, because he knew what his big move was going to be. It was going to be Trent Grisham. And Devin Williams, we're done.
Andrew's like, yeah, they're going to run it back just at a higher payroll.
Yeah. How fucking stupid. How stupid. They touched the electric fence, got zapped, and like, we're like, oh, let's do it again. You know, it's like, it's just so dumb.
You know what the Yankees are doing right now? It's exactly what you're
pissing me off.
No, yeah. it's like when you let your kid get burned so they learn not to do it again, except for they keep fucking sticking their hand in the stove.
Yes. Yes. I never let my kid touch something to get burned. So, yeah, no, I don't know what you're talking about.
I understand that.
But I have.
Actually, they don't actually do this, but.
No.
It's the old expression, you let them get burned so they learn not to do it again. Except for the Yankees keep sticking their hand in the fire. Devin Williams didn't want to be here. Let's give him $45 million. Trent Grisham has shown that he's not a good outfielder, can't run the bases, had a regression in the second half of the season, and was completely non-factor in the postseason. Let's bring him back.
When you still don't know who your first baseman is, who's your starting? I guess Austin Wells. Is that going to be definite now? Austin Wells is going to be the catcher every day, and Ben Rice is going to be the first baseman, and they're just going to bring back J.C. Ascara to be the backup catcher?
No, well, what they would like to do is they would like to trade Ascara because they realize that having two left-handed catchers is stupid, that they would like to trade Ascara and get a right-handed version of him.
Which, yeah,
you know what? And I keep hearing JT Realmuto's name floated around there, and maybe you can get him on a 1 or 2 year deal. Again, I know he's in a steep decline here. He's on the back nine here of his career. Is that something that I'd be interested in overall? Yeah, but it's not going to be cheap. He's not going to walk in here. He's not going to walk in here for a bag of peanuts. And the Yankees are going to pay what JT Realmuto probably wants to be a platoon guy. There's the fan side, and then there's the realistic side. And the realistic side is that, yeah, we say this, that, and the other thing, but real, it's just not going to happen.
No.
The Yankees are doing exactly what they really are being built to do, be a profitable baseball team. Not a championship baseball team, a profitable one. And as long as you have 99 in that lineup with some semblance of breathing humans, they will be a profitable baseball club. And based on every single thing that's happened so far, the Yankees are looking themselves in the mirror and telling you, well, if we had Gerrit Cole, we were going to the World Series this year. Because they're literally not trying to do anything differently. I know Jeff Passan was on a podcast or somewhere today and said, you know, if Tarik Skubal really gets moved, the Yankees have the pieces to do it. I'm not laughing because I don't think that they do. I think the Yankees absolutely could pull off that trade if they wanted to. Detroit called the Yankees right now. What do you think? Anybody have any like hope in their minds that that's something that they do? They'd actually do?
We're fucked. I just keep reading all these headlines.
Sports Empire, Danny Jansen, isn't the one that beat off in the car? Wasn't that guy? Wasn't the guy that got called jerking it in the car in a minor league ballpark? You want that guy on the team? I know there's a joke in there somewhere, but pretty sure that's what he's most famous for. Google that. Danny Jansen. Pretty sure that's what he got busted for doing that.
Danny Jansen.
Oh, that's Reese McGuire. Okay, yeah, you're right. Reese McGuire, okay. Sure. What did Danny Jansen do last year?
Hit 215 with 14 home runs, 36 RBIs, and 62 hits.
He's got a little bit of pop as a backup, okay. I'm not against it.
I don't know. We traded a nice catcher to Boston that was a real nice pain in our ass all season, too.
Yeah, well, you know what? This kid that they got back for him might make you forget who Carlos Narvaez is, but, you know, we'll see. So, I mean, we can get off this now. I don't know why I always get Danny Jansen confused with Reese McGuire. Reese McGuire was traded the same season that Clayton Beter was traded to the Yankees, and the joke was that the Yankees got Beter, and the Red Sox got a guy that beats it.
Oh,
I don't know why I get those two confused. I should apologize to Danny Jansen. Okay. So the other thing that the Yankees did earlier in the week was that they brought back Ryan Yarbrough on a one-year deal, which, again, I like the maneuver. You know, you get everybody sarcastic in the comments when it's announced, like, World Series back on. But, yeah, okay, listen. You can't have a superstar everywhere. Not even the Dodgers have superstars at every position. You need role players on a baseball team. And Ryan Yarbrough is a role player. That's exactly what he is. You know, I know people most think a role player is like a position player, but you can have role players in a pitching staff, which he's just a guy that does a lot of different things. He can start. He can be a long reliever. You can do lefty matchups with him. You know, so he's very versatile in that aspect. He made 8 starts for the Yankees last year. 7 of them, he allowed 2 earned runs or less. His greatest contribution to the Yankees was getting hurt, so that allowed Cam Schlittler to come back to get called up. So he was very valuable to the Yankees last year. I have no problem with the Yankees bringing him back. He fills out a roster. When we talk about roster construction, he fills out a roster. He makes sense. He has a place on this team. What is going to bother me and should bother everybody is when the Yankees look at Ryan Yarbrough and say, you do it. And what I mean by that is that Gerrit Cole and what's the other guy's name? Carlos Rodon are definitely not going to be ready for the start of the season. Probably going to take 3 or 4 weeks to get them both back. They'll need to cover some sort of innings, and the Yankees are going to say, you do it. Which is what I don't want them to do. Go out there and get a legitimate starting pitcher. Go and do that. Go and get a legitimate starting pitcher, to somebody that can be in this rotation. You want to talk about how things can be different? Go bring a legitimate starting pitcher in here and make a trade from your surplus of starters, because that's what you have right now. Gerrit Cole's coming back, Cam Schlittler, Max Fried, and then you can pick from Rodon, Heel, and Warren. One of those guys should be traded this offseason. I know who I'm picking. In fact, I trade 2 of them, to be completely honest with you. I bring in one, I bring in a new guy, and I trade 2 of them and keep one as a backup. You know, my 6th starter, which would probably be best suited for, you know, like a Will Warren role. And then you have Ryan Yarbrough in like the 7th slot. And then you have guys like ERC and Carlos LaGrange waiting in the wings if you need to go that deep in.
Is Schmidt going to make it back this season?
I would not expect Clark Schmidt to throw a pitch for the Yankees this year.
Yeah, because I don't even remember when he got hurt.
I'm here in the early, you know, maybe mid-August. I'd be stunned. Honestly, I'd be surprised if we saw him throw a competitive pitch for the Yankees this year. And what I mean by that is that if him throwing a pitch when the games actually matter. Now the Yankees clinch and there's 3 games left in the season. Do they give him a start just to have him knock some rust off? That's a possibility. But if that game matters, is Clark Schmidt pitching in it? No. That's the way I feel about it. So the Yankees still have good depth on this team. If you trade, say, Luis Gil and go get yourself somebody, you know, go get yourself some bullpen help. Or go get yourself an infielder. Or, look, man, Carlos Rodon is a prime trade candidate for me. If I'm a good general manager, which I think Brian Cashman is, I just think he spends money like he's drunk. Or he spends money like a kid that got his first paycheck and his mother let him loose in Sam Goody. Okay? I use that reference because that was me. And if you don't know what Sam Goody is, A, yeah, I know I'm old, and B, I feel sorry for you. It's like the best store ever. Anyway.
I prefer coconuts.
Coconuts was another good one. Okay. But Wayne Hills Mall, Sam Goody, McDonald's, Arcade, bang. I mean, how could you have a better day?
I was in that shop right the other day, and I was with the kid from work, and I started naming the things that were there. He had no idea. He's like, that's so funny that you're saying this shit now.
That's on my route twice a week, and the first time I was in there, that's exactly what I did. It's like, this was here, this was here. But now I don't do it anymore. But anyway, Carlos Rodon is a prime trade candidate for me. You get that $27 million off the books. He is a guy that I think teams do value, can logs innings. You know, is this injury going to hamper any potential trades? It might, which is kind of which might be the bad timing to try to make this trade with Carlos Rodon. But that's somebody I'm looking to move in the offseason. I would look to move Luis Gil in the offseason as well. Not that I don't think Luis Gil has electric stuff. He's always hurt, and he's just not a guy I think he's ever going to put it all together.
Yeah.
In terms of being healthy and being able to throw enough strikes.
But Carlos Rodon has a no-trade clause.
You know what you say to him? I don't like you. Get the fuck out of here.
Fuck off my team. Yeah, I mean, then he could just say, fuck you, pay me. That's what's the problem with the no-trade clause. You know, when he was coming to the team, you're like, oh, this is great. This is going to really add to our rotation. And he's not panning out to what we all had hoped he was. And then the no-trade clause bites you in the ass. Because who's really going to want him?
Teams need starting pitching.
Yeah.
And Chris P is right, man. Ime, again, a huge risk paying these guys that come over here and have not thrown a pitch in the major leagues. It should be a prime target for the Yankees right now. Prime target. And that's how you get guys to come over. You give them sweeteners, like a no-trade clause, in case you do want to trade them. At least then they have a say of where they want to go. So you can't dump them in Kansas City just, you know, as a team that's usually historically not good, you know, over the last 20 years or so. Outside of the one, although they have won a World Series more recently than the Yankees. Or Colorado. Let's use Colorado as an example. But if you can work out a deal with a team, this is what I talked about with Giancarlo Stanton. You don't go and try to dump him somewhere that is a 60-win team. You go to that mid-level of a team that could compete, could possibly compete, might be like a piece or two away from being a playoff team, and you tell them, I don't want you. I don't love you anymore. Get out of my house. Rob, what's up, bro? He says, can you imagine if Grish hits less than 20 homers after getting paid $22 million? Rob, I can't imagine it because I envision it happening, okay?
It's like a predetermined outcome.
I think the Yankees are – if the Yankees pay $1 million per home run that Trent Grisham hits this year, I think that they would – actually come out ahead of what I expect out of Trent Grisham this year. So look, man, there are ways to improve the ball club. I think the Yankees do have a surplus of starting pitching. They have guys like Bryce Cunningham and Ben Hess that they can also, you know, move that are coming up in another year or two. So they don't really have to worry about certain things. It's just I don't get the insistence that they're just looking at this and saying, if we had Gerrit Cole, we would have been right there. Because that's literally what all their maneuvering so far and all the reporting so far is leading you to believe. They don't have to change anything. And you all know how much I love this guy. But he was not the missing piece to the Yankees going to the World Series last year. Something needed to be fundamentally changed in that lineup. It just does not look like it's going to happen. Do this real quick. Who's catching? Austin Wells was here last year. Sucked. Overall sucked. Ben Rice is going to be your first baseman. Okay, I like Ben Rice. But I think there's a cap on what Ben Rice is. He's a 240 hitter, 250 hitter that's going to hit 30 home runs. He's going to strike out a lot. Jazz Chisholm, 30-30 guy. Probably not going to be there when it matters, though. Anthony Volpe. Ryan McMahon, again, my ceiling for Ryan McMahon is hitting 225 with 25 home runs. It's not great. Belly's coming back to play left field. Okay, you know, he's a guy that's going to, you know, he replicates last year, 275, 30 home runs, 100 RBIs. That's fine. Trent Grisham. I think he's hitting any. He hit 235 last year. And I don't think that I would be absolutely stunned if the power is anywhere near close to that. And then he got Aaron Judge. Where he has to hit 330 and with 50 home runs. He has to. If Aaron Judge hit 310 with 40 home runs next year, we're all going to look at it and be like, wow. First of all, you're going to be like, wow, down year for Aaron Judge. And number two, how are the Yankees going to survive that? 310 and 40 home runs for any other team and any other superstar is another MVP caliber season. It wouldn't even get Judge the MVP consideration next year. And it would make the Yankees a worse team because they have nobody to pick it up. But run it back.
Run it back.
We got one more super chat here from Kevin Cruz. Is that my boy, Kev? Okay. Joe Ryan. He's stuttering prick. Okay. And Peralta from the Brewers. Maybe. We'll see. Rocket Man said the Trent Grisham screwed up their offseason. I firmly believe that. I think everybody should believe that he screwed up their offseason. And if you look at the Yankees lineup, Cody Bellinger is coming back to be the second piece in the lineup. Where as much as I love Cody Bellinger, he's not the second piece in the lineup. He's not the number two behind Aaron Judge. He should be like realistically like a three on a really serious team, maybe even a four. But run it back. And I want to close the show with this. That I seen this a lot too on social media. And every time, you know, you say something about Trent or Devin or this guy, well, don't go cheering for them now. When they do good, don't be cheering for them. I think I even saw somebody mock Pete when he's Trenty Bonds or the old my Trent or what Pete says during game season. Well, don't do that. Don't call us home. First of all, shut up, everybody. Just shut up. Because we are content creators. What we do is we're here to give our opinions on things. But when the camera is off, guess what we are? Guess why we do this? We're fans. So I can sit here and spend an hour and 15 minutes telling you in all the tweets and all the videos that I made during the week about how much I disliked Trent Grisham coming back. You know what I'm going to do with him? You know what I'm going to do, though, on March 25th when the Yankees take the field in San Francisco? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to root for him. Because above all else, I want this team to win. Don't root. Better not root for him. Better not. Shut your mouth. We are all fans here. You put on the uniform, whether I want you here or not, I'm rooting for you. Because what I want, and I say this all the time, I want to sit here in October with the Yankees holding up a trophy and saying, boy, I've never been so happy to be wrong. But right now, a week before Thanksgiving, when Trent Grisham is back, on a $22 million deal, not feeling so happy right now. Not feeling like this is something that the Yankees should have done.
No. Played with fire and they got burnt. We'll see in a few months.
We will see in a few months. When we closed out the show last week, we'll see what happens. I thought the biggest excitement we were going to get this week was Ryan Yarbrough and then how we're going to fill airtime. But, you know, the Yankees always manage to do something. Always manage to do something here. So good luck tomorrow. Everybody in the chat, wish Sam good luck. He's having surgery. Okay.
Surgery.
So best of luck tomorrow. I'll talk to you in a couple of days. I'll let you recover. See how you're doing. Or I might forget. Or I might even forget you even exist. I don't know. I might.
The pills they're gonna give me, from what I gather, I might forget I exist too. So
next week is Thanksgiving, so we will not be here. We'll be back the following week. So everybody, enjoy your holiday. Enjoy your time with your family. Enjoy your turkey. Enjoy your football. Just, you know, if you're not, you know, you're not American, you listen to Outside the States, enjoy your Thursday. But we're gonna be taking the week off next week, as it's Thanksgiving, and we'll be back the following week on NYYU. We'll be back on December 4th, so that'll be our next episode. So until then, if you've been in the chat tonight, we love you guys so much, and we are thankful for you, okay? I would say that all the time, and I truly do mean it. We are thankful for all you guys in the chat here tonight, and happy Thanksgiving to you and your families. And if you're still here, please like this video, subscribe to NYYU. And so far, Sam, Jacob, Tina, and somebody else did. FL Driver have all wished you good luck tomorrow. So
thank you.
And if you're listening on your favorite podcast platform, please leave us a 5-star rating and review. Subscribe there as well. Tell everybody NYYST is the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. Once again, thank you, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. Thank you for listening and watching episode 502. Sam, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.